Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. Oh man, we have a good one for you today. So if you've been listening to the podcast already, you know that Sophie and I love to get into the woo-woo, but also really love explaining neurology behind the things that you experience, the results that you get, the life and reality that you've created for yourself. And so today we get to do all of it in a topic that we adore. We're going to talk all about manifesting. Now, this already, as soon as I said it, you know, depending on what kind of listener you are, you might have had a couple different responses. You could have the science response, which is manifestation is bullshit. It cannot happen. It's all purely woo-woo. It has not been proven. Yeah, well, you know, we're going to go through a bunch of different ways that the brain works to show you that maybe it's not so impossible as you think. Now, you might have the response of, hey, manifestation, that's my home, man. You know, I live with crystals and angels and energies and all this stuff and law of attraction. I've been in it forever. And so this is my jam. And so you're going to love this, but you're also going to learn the opposite side. You're going to learn about how the brain actually creates this effect, that whether you look at it through science or you look at it through the law of attraction, just happens. And so no matter where you're coming from, you're going to get a really well-rounded perspective that might help you see the other side and then become even better at manifesting.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be epic. I am so, so excited to just dive in with you guys on this because it's interesting when we talk about certain topics, especially ones like this, because you do get a very polarized point of view for certain people. So regardless of what end of the spectrum you are on here, or where, even if you're somewhere in the middle, we really do want to help bridge that gap where we bring in the actual science, the biology, the neuropsychology of what's actually happening, which gets me really excited because it's not just theory so much as it's actually looking at real factual data. So with that being said, let's dive in.
So let's go through what I think is a really great entry point, which is how the brain works. And then we can go from there into the woo-woo stuff because that's super fun. But I want to make sure that we cover this. And the whole thing is you got to understand that you have different cognitive biases. Now, a cognitive bias is almost like a rule that just from being a human, you have applying inside of your own mind. And one of them is called the confirmation bias. That is one that you'll hear me talking about the most because I think that it quite possibly is the most powerful one. Really what it means is that you need to be right. The brain hates being wrong. And so you will seek evidence for whatever you believe to be reality inside of your mind, to the point where if you don't see immediate evidence of it, you'll create it. And if you want to look at previous episodes when we were talking about how you create reality or how you process information, the way that your unconscious mind works, go back into the first 10 episodes and listen to this stuff if you missed it, because it's really important. And we discuss that. And we discuss that, hey, if you believe that, for example, all men are pigs, and you know, I don't know when you're listening to this, but right now, it just seems like the media is chock full of men in power behaving despicably. And so you could look at that, and if you have that belief, all men are pigs, and you look at this and you see evidence of it all over the place, and then you go out and all men are pigs, all men are pigs. And even if some guy is nice to you, you're going to probably interpret it as, he wants something. He has an ulterior motive. You know, what's this guy actually saying? Is he really making fun of me? And your responses may set off a negative relationship with this complete stranger. And then you might actually turn that person into a pig, or you might be so convinced by how they respond that you have firmly created this inside of your mind. Yes, here is yet another pig. And so according to the mind, you have just created, manifested an experience in which men are pigs. And so you can see that whatever you have going on inside of your beliefs, right? Whatever you believe about yourself, the world, other people, that confirmation bias is going to keep on bringing you to evidence that your beliefs are correct, or creating evidence that your beliefs are correct, and creating evidence, that's manifesting. So right then and there, you can see the first psychological tool that your brain uses in order to manifest your reality based on what you believe.
And so as we start to talk about manifesting, if we think about the actual word in and of itself, to manifest is to bring about, to create, right? To make something appear in essence, right? And so if we're thinking about it from that context, when we're talking about manifesting, it's bringing something from thought into fruition, right? It's being able to really experience something in your mind and then being able to then experience it outside of your mind in the world around you. And what's interesting is you'll hear this oftentimes when people, they'll think about a new car that they want, right? And they go ahead and they get this new car, whether it's like a, we'll use a blue Mercedes. And never before did you ever notice all the other blue Mercedes on the road. But now that you're driving in this blue Mercedes, you notice that every other person seems to have one. But it's not that all these people just suddenly got blue Mercedes. It's because you actually started to become aware of all the other blue Mercedes because it's become part of your identity. It's become part of what you're living in and what you're paying attention to and where your focus is going. And so it's very similar when we're talking about manifestation, whether you're doing it consciously or unconsciously, and we'll get into that as well, how you're creating your reality and the experiences around you based on your internal representation of yourself and of the world.
So what Sophie's referring to here is called the reticular activating system. It's a well-studied part of your brain, and it channels your focus. And so remember, actually, going back again into the toolkit, remember that your brain filters out almost all of reality, almost everything. And so what gets through is all completely determined by your mind, by what's mostly inside of your reticular activating system. So you start paying attention. I have a white Mini. And I thought, I have a white Turbo Mini. It's awesome. I'm the only one who has it. And I drove away and I saw like five more. Where did all these come from, right? Because my brain has suddenly let in a piece of information, starting to filter in instead of filter out this one thing. But in my perspective, it's like those cars magically appeared. So here's a question when we're thinking as scientists, when we're talking about manifesting things, well, what's the difference between creating something in your reality and then suddenly noticing something that was there that you had never seen before? And I'm going to say there's absolutely nothing that's different between those two, because in your experience of reality, and remember, your reality is the only reality that matters because nobody else has the same reality. In that reality, that object had magically appeared for one reason or another. And so there you can see it again, scientifically. Manifestation happens. It happens all the freaking time. Tony Robbins loves talking about going into the kitchen and having someone tell you where the salt is. And they'll say, yeah, can you go get the salt? It's on the shelf. And you look at the shelves and you don't see the salt. And you say, where is the salt? And they'll say, it's on the shelf. And you look at the shelves and you don't see the salt. And they'll say, it's on the shelf right in front of you. And you stare at it and you say, I cannot freaking see it. It isn't here. And then they come over and right literally in front of your eyes, they pick it up and say, okay, what is this? And then you have one of those Twix moments where you're like, duh, right? You're looking at something and you're still not even seeing it. It's right in front of your face. And then when someone else points it, poof, like a magic trick, rabbit out of the hat, the salt appears. Well, according to your brain, the way that it actually processes information, it wasn't there. Now it is. Boom. Manifestation.
And this is so interesting, especially as we start to really think about the science behind it. Because more than creating, it's really becoming aware of all of the different ways or perspectives of looking at life, at things. when you're looking at illusions, right, your brain really does believe that that illusion is real until you start to see the trick. But even when you know the trick, your brain, when it looks at it, still sees that illusion as being real.
Optical illusions. And
optical illusions. Thank you. Thank you. I knew there was a word. So as you're looking at those optical illusions, you have to understand that your brain is going to fill in those missing pieces and it's going to make it real, which is what's happening a lot of the time in your life, right? Based off of your IR, your internal representation, and IR, your reticular activating system, what filter you're using, your brain is going to plug in those missing pieces to match your IR. Who you believe you are, what you believe is possible. So you're only going to see from the level of who you believe or what you believe, who you believe you are and what you believe in life to be true. So you're going to either accept or block different things depending on what your filters are.
And so that gives us the next logical step where if we're talking about manifesting. So, okay, if you see things or don't see things, if you're aware of or are not aware of things inside the world based on your beliefs and your focus, that must mean that by changing your beliefs and changing your focus, you will become aware of different things in life, making them feel like maybe they're suddenly appearing. And so oftentimes when we talk about manifesting, really what we're talking about is changing your internal representation, these IRs, changing your beliefs, changing your focus so that you can suddenly become aware of a part of life you had never seen before, or maybe that just you have not seen in a long time. And in that way, you can kind of create your reality. And so that's another reason why we focus so much on changing whatever is going on inside of your mind that may be limiting you, that might be leading you into results that you don't like. And by consistently working on those, you consistently see different parts of life that allow you to see other opportunities or allow you to see the same situations in different ways that allow you to create different situations and therefore results. And if you want to trace that, really you could just say that by changing your beliefs, you are creating a different reality, giving you different results, and that's manifestation again.
And so I want to bring this up. Dan talked on it briefly around the self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is huge because the strongest force in the human personality is to be congruent with who you believe you are. Right? Your unconscious mind will do whatever it needs to do to make sure that you are living in congruence with who you believe you are. So if you believe you are the unluckiest person on earth and that nobody's going to love you and that everything is going to be going wrong, you're going to be filtering the world through those frames. And as that happens, guess what? You're going to find ways to make sure that you believe that. And we've talked about this in previous episodes. When you become chemically addicted to certain emotional states and to certain identities, because your body has become conditioned to that personality. And so you start to, again, go into this wonderful cycle of thinking and feeling and thinking and feeling and spiraling down to where you're only able to create from that emotional state. And you're literally creating outside of you what you're experiencing inside. So what would happen if you started to believe, or even just pretended, right? If you started to believe and ponder the possibility that maybe I am a little lucky. Maybe life isn't so bad. Maybe people are great. Maybe I am lovable. Maybe it's possible that magic does happen. And as you start to take off some of these filters and you start to put on different ones, you start to see the world from that perspective of possibility. And as the self-fulfilling prophecy would have, you will start to attract and or become aware of a different perspective on life and of your reality.
It's kind of like if you've ever had a friend or known anybody, or hey, maybe you've even been this person yourself, who has said that they always get into relationships with jerks. always get into relationships with people who treat them poorly. And so the question there is it really possible that this person consistently, randomly, accidentally finds and gets into relationships with this same kind of person? Or is there something within them, focus, beliefs, all sorts of different perceptual filters that is leading that person to becoming attracted to or attracting a certain kind of person, then getting into the same kind of a relationship based on seeing the same world in the same ways that leads the person to feeling in the same way and having the same results, right? So you could say that this person is manifesting these crappy relationships based on who they are. And then by shifting it, by shifting the belief, instead of thinking, I only date people who abuse me, and having that, and God knows whatever beliefs that could come from that, if just by thinking like, hey, you know what? I only date people who take care of me, who treat me well and respect me, and then create that, reinforce it, use other strategies and techniques that are in this podcast that help create that firmly inside of the unconscious mind. Once that belief is, I only date people who truly respect me. Do you think that that could lead to different manifestations, right? Because that person then would get, maybe they'd meet a similar kind of old jerk that they used to be attracted to or get into a relationship with. But now the belief is, I only date people who fully respect me. That person would get shot down, or maybe that person would be totally ignored or not even seen in the first place. They'd just get totally filtered out. And then this person with this new belief, because of that, right, would start manifesting different relationships. So what can you do? And also go back to the previous episode where we're talking about emotional vibration and frequency. Because maybe going from one belief to everybody loves me might be a little bit of a big jump for you. But there we give you a couple different emotional ladders that you can baby step your way up. Like Sophie said, well, what happens if instead of feeling I'm totally unlucky, maybe you can just believe that you're lucky from time to time? And steadily shift these beliefs, these filters, so that you can start manifesting, start becoming aware of, creating these different situations that'll then reinforce your new belief and allow you to steadily walk your way up to just being, hey, I'm freaking blessed. My life is full of miracles, and that's just the way it is.
I'm going to dive into this for a little bit here. Because it ties so perfectly in when we think about who we believe we are, right? When we talk about the personality, or what I like to refer to as our identity, and your identity is created from what you think, what you feel, and what you do. Really think about that. Your personality, your identity, who you believe you are, is created from what you consistently think, how you consistently feel, and what you consistently do. So if you're running the same thoughts, the same emotional feelings, and you're running the same behavior patterns time after time after time, and that's who you believe you are, you're going to, based off of the self-fulfilling prophecy and a few other things that we've talked about, create only from that space of who you believe you are. So what were to happen, actually, before I go into that, let's talk about going back to Dan's analogy about the woman constantly dating guys who are not the best. And yet, for whatever reason, she thinks that all men are just terrible. And she's always feeling bad about herself. And she's always going to these bars and these sleazy clubs and finding the men who are going to those places. And she has the elusive idea that this is the whole world. But what were to happen if she were to change the way she thinks? She says, maybe it's possible that there are other men out there in different places. And she started to feel like, maybe I am worth something more. Maybe I am more valuable. And then she started to do something different. And actually, instead of going to those clubs, she started to go to personal development seminars. Or she started going to meditation retreats. Or she started going to book clubs. And in doing that, feeling that and thinking differently, she would start to put herself in a different reality, quite literally, where different opportunities equal to her level of awareness and her vibrational frequency, which we'll get into next, are equal to. And that, my friends, is the simplest way that we can start to explain how much your identity, your IR, who you believe you are, will quite literally influence and impact what you create outside of you.
Right. So let's get in some of the woo-woo stuff. Then we've gone into a little bit of the psychology. Let's give our energy lovers something to think about here. So there is a thing called the law of attraction, right? And I feel like people assume on a basic level that you attract negative if you think of negative, positive if you think of positive. I would say that's not correct, because the law of attraction does not work on what you want, and it does not work on what you think consciously. The law of attraction pays attention to what you have going on inside of your unconscious, because your unconscious is the domain of your beliefs and the roots of your thoughts and your emotions. And remember, and you can go back again to the toolkit when we're talking about emotions, that emotions are what give everything we do life, gives it energy. You can go up to a friend and say, "You're stupid." But depending on the emotion that you have behind it, it'll have a completely different meaning and a completely different result. You say it when you're really pissed off, you might start a fight. Say it when you're really happy or lovey-dovey, it could be the cutest thing in the world, right? And so the same thing happens with your thoughts. So I know a lot of people will say, you know, well, I had this negative thought, and, you know, is that going to bring bad to me? Well, how did you feel at the time? That's the thing that really matters. So when we're talking about the law of attraction, remember, again, it all goes back to your unconscious. It all goes back to what do you believe. If you go into a meeting and you say to yourself, you know, I'm going to use the law of attraction. I'm going to sign this deal. 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 And you think, well, I'm thinking positively. But deep down, you believe that you're going to fail. That deep down belief is what is going to be communicated. It's what's going to come out through your communications unconsciously. It's going to come out your voice, tone, tonality, your choice of words. It's going to come out through all of your body language, your eye contact, the energy you give off, and then you will either fail, as you believed you would, or you're going to make it so freaking hard that even if you succeed, you might feel like you failed anyway. And so there's our doorway into looking at how the law of attraction really works. And so then we could talk about all the other juicy stuff about vibrational frequency and what to do with that.
I love this topic so much. Let's think about this, because when you're talking about your conscious and your unconscious mind, right, we're talking about our logical brain and then we're talking about our emotional body. You have to understand that they have different languages. Your conscious mind has the language of thoughts, right? And your body or your unconscious mind has the language of feelings. So if your thoughts and your feelings are not in alignment, what you're thinking and what you're feeling are in opposite ends, there's no congruency there. You're not going to be creating a frequency that is coherent. So if you're thinking, I'm positive and life is great, but you're feeling like shit, that message isn't going anywhere. It's actually going to cancel itself out. So when we're talking about a little bit of the woo-woo, but also the science behind it, because again, this is what I love here, you have to understand that you have to create congruency between your body and your mind, between your conscious and your unconscious self. And in doing that, it's creating congruency between your thoughts and your feelings. Because when you start thinking a certain way and you attach a powerful emotional state behind that thought that is incongruent, it's congruent with the emotion and the thought's congruent with the feeling, that is when you create what we call a coherent wave. And that coherency is what allows you to start actually creating a vibrational electromagnetic field around yourself, where then you start to literally attract equal to your electromagnetic field, which is why we're going to hammer this in on you guys. You can't just think it's going to happen and then feel a different way. You have to create the emotional vibrational frequency inside of yourself and raise your vibrational frequency so that you can raise the frequency of your electromagnetic field so then you can attract opportunity and possibility that is equal to that state.
Now, Some of you might be thinking that really fallen off the deep end here when we're talking about electromagnetic states and your emotions and all that stuff. Okay, so back in the day, I can't remember what day it was, probably a Tuesday, there were a lot of scientists who said that you couldn't measure the electricity inside of the brain, that there was no electricity inside of the brain. Then we developed EEGs, and we still use them, by the way, to see the electricity inside of the brain. And then we thought, okay, well, the electricity inside of the brain, all thought, stays within inside the mind, like inside the head, inside the skull, right? Well, now we have these things called MEGs. It is the same thing as an EEG, but instead of measuring electricity, it measures magnetism, magnetic waves. And an MEG placed across a room from a person can measure the different thought vibrational frequencies inside that person's mind. So what that lets us know is that our thoughts, our emotions do have electromagnetic frequencies, signatures that extend well beyond the human body and can be picked up easily by very simple machines. So this is very real, guys. This is not just we're talking about, oh, you know, people seeing auras and stuff like that. No. We can measure this. And then we can also measure the changes in your electromagnetic signature, as it were, right? As you're walking around, you have a code, a vibration that is some product, I'd say, of all of the different things that you're feeling on an unconscious level, all of your different emotions, and all of the different beliefs that are being active inside of your mind. We can measure them. And then just like a tuning fork, you ever taken a tuning fork or two tuning forks and you get one vibrating, you tap one, and then you put the other one close to the vibrating tuning fork. And then all of a sudden, the second tuning fork starts vibrating as well, right? But it might not vibrate at the same exact frequency. Only part of it, only part of the tuning fork will actually start vibrating. So you'll get a little bit of a different tone. Really what you're getting there is that the part of the tuning fork that is going to vibrate, that's going to resonate the same frequency as the first tuning fork vibrating will start responding. And so in that same way, when you're walking around, imagine yourself as a tuning fork. You're giving off a very special kind of vibration, sum total, of all of your emotions and unconscious beliefs that you're experiencing at the time. And then people around you will start responding. And if they have something that will resonate, if they have a part of them that will resonate with it, that part will start responding to you, right? And so in that way, you start drawing in, you start activating the world around you that's resonating with your particular vibrational frequency, your electromagnetic signature.
So let's bring in just a little bit more science here because it's always fun. If you want to bring in the chemistry of this and you think about different emotions, you think about emotions, what are those, right? They're different chemicals going off in your brain. So it would be fair to say then that each emotion that you have has a different chemical signature, right? So if we're looking at the chemistry behind it, we can see that, okay, different emotions have different chemistry. They're made up of different molecules, different particles inside of your brain, inside of your body. We're looking at this from the world of physics and quantum physics, right? And we're thinking about the basic concept, okay, of water, for instance. We'll use this. This is going to tie in beautifully. When you slow down the molecules and how quickly they're moving, right, the water turns into ice. And as you speed up the way those molecules are moving, they start to vibrate faster and faster and faster. That is where that water becomes more fluid, and as you speed it up even more, it becomes what we call steam. And so if you start to think about this in the sense that your emotions are moving from being more solid when they're in a slower vibrational frequency, right? They're vibrating slower. They are more like matter. And when you raise that vibrational frequency, you start to increase the frequency, you are actually becoming less matter and it's becoming more energy. There's more energy behind it. So as we're looking at the difference in your emotional state, in your emotional chemical state, I get so geeked out about this because there's data, there's research. It's understanding that literally your different emotional states have different energies behind it based on the frequency. And as you go into lower emotional states like lust or competition or guilt or shame or fear, the vibrational frequency is much slower. And that's where you feel much more like matter. And your electromagnetic field gets smaller, because you're not vibrating at a higher frequency, so your field isn't able to go out or expand. And so as you raise your emotional state, you're releasing different chemicals, you're increasing your frequency, because states like love, passion, joy, bliss are vibrating so quickly. Those chemicals are vibrating at such a higher frequency that they are more energy. Therefore, you're starting to see your electromagnetic field expand. So, for those of you who are more on the science perspective of this, I would highly encourage checking it out, really thinking about it. And there's so many different studies around these different pieces as we go into the world of quantum, right? And we go into a lot more of the theories behind quantum law, quantum mechanics, quantum physics. You'll start to see how much we don't actually know.
Now, this really, you can feel this, right? When people walk into a room, you ever been in a room and have someone walk in and they're in one of those slower vibrational states and they walk in because they're sad or whatever? It's kind of hard to notice them, right? Or maybe you've walked in and you haven't been all that maybe high vibed at the time. And it's really easy to feel overlooked, right? Or maybe people will notice you and then immediately dismiss, right? They'll go back to what they were doing. Now, on the other side, think about what happens when you or someone else walk into a room and they're in love with themselves and love with life. And they're super high, right? Their fields are massive, right? They're sending out their vibrations powerfully all over the place because they're moving that fast, that their chemistry, their particles are moving even faster. They're dispersing. They're sending this message out to the world. And people notice, right? Or have you ever walked into a party, for example, and you're just feeling amazing? People notice. They pay attention. They may even just immediately walk up to you. You are attracting. You are attractive. And it doesn't just happen with people, right? Because that's one way that we notice it easily. But think that everything has an electromagnetic signature in it. All of life does. So it's not just people that you are attracting to yourself when you're in these high vibrational frequency emotions. So there you have it, right? You're upping your vibes so that things that will resonate with the same sort of feeling that you're in will be attracted to you. And you're broadcasting your signal in an even larger way so that you give even more things a chance to resonate with you. And you see, just like walking into a party and having a lot of other people rush up to you, because also notice when you're super happy, you walk into a party, it's not the sad and depressed people who will rush up to you. It'll be other happy and amazingly fun people who are feeling the same way who will rush up to you. So take that as a metaphor for life, right? And that's why it's so important to consistently buoy your emotions, to consistently work on yourself, to do what it takes to meditate, to use the processes that we've been teaching you inside this podcast and will continue to teach you, including one today, but to continuously work on your emotions and the beliefs that you have inside of your unconscious mind so all of your life can be you simply walking into the party and having all of the most fun people greet you at the door.
And this is where we can really tie in the science when we say becoming magnetic. Because as you raise your vibrational frequency, as you raise your electromagnetic field, you literally become more magnetic to different opportunities equal to your vibrational frequency. So it's a very, very real thing. And in regards to everything that we're talking about here, it's important for you to recognize that, are you living at effect of the emotions that you've been maintaining for the last X amount of years, decades, whatever it's been, are you choosing to take back your power? And instead of letting your body be the mind, you are choosing to say, let me create from within me rather than waiting for something outside of me, and recognize my power to actually change my chemical emotional state so that I can start feeling differently. And as I start feeling differently, I can start thinking differently, and I can change and reverse the cycle of, instead of spiraling down, I can start to spiral up and raise my vibrational frequency. And that starts with you recognizing that you have absolute and total control over your own emotional state when you choose to take ownership, take responsibility. And we've talked about this in previous episodes, of knowing that you do create the emotions that you want to feel with how you're thinking and what you're feeling and what you're choosing to respond to. It doesn't mean that you have to be positive 24/7, but it does mean that you get to create the emotions you want to feel and how you respond to what happens outside of you.
So you do this already, okay? You've done it many times before. And hey, even knowing this, I sometimes do it. I'll come out and just admit it. Every once in a while, when I go into a situation that I really don't want to be in, or I go for a difficult conversation, my mind goes to what's the worst that can happen. And then I run away with it. And then I'll go to, okay, well, I'm going to say this. Oh, this person's going to say that. And then I'm going to say this. And that person's going to get upset. And then this, then that, then that. And I notice myself like, holy crap, I'm feeling, right? Because remember that the brain cannot tell the difference between that which is actually experienced and actively imagined. You know that because if you imagine something and you're getting an emotion from it, it's because your body thinks it's actually happening and it's responding. Okay. Normally we use this for negative. Say, oh God, this meeting's going to go horribly. And you go through all the ways it can happen. Or, oh my God, this person is going to find out that I said this and boom, fight. Or your next marketing campaign is going to flop and you go through how it's going to feel, right? There's a way to flip it around. Because remember, when you create these negatives in your mind, through all the things that we were talking about, through your confirmation bias, through your reticular activating system, through the chemistry inside of your mind, electromagnetic field and people resonating with it, you're going to create that negative situation, right? Or you're going to push towards creating that negative situation. You might be able to avoid it, but it's going to take everything you got. And we want to make things even easier, right? So, hey, if you can create a negative for yourself, as Sophie said, take responsibility. This doesn't just happen. It's not something that's happening to you. You are doing it. But if you can do it negatively, that means you can do it positively. And that brings us to the task of this episode. I'm going to teach you a process that I reserve for my private clients. So that means that you are now all my clients. You are now all working on evolved empowerment methods to change your mind. And that means you have the responsibility to do it, right? I demand this of all of my clients, not just to listen, but to actually use these processes so that you can get amazing results. And then tell Sophie and tell me about all of the gorgeous things that are happening as a result of them, all right? You've been recruited. So here is the process. It's called the grand vision. Now, the grand vision is simply using that same exact power that you have to create something negative to do the exact opposite and to create something amazing. The goal here is to experience powerfully positive emotions. Okay, now if you want to go through which ones are the most powerful to feel, if you like setting yourself some goals, go back to the episode about vibrational frequencies and emotions, and we have an entire ladder there for you so you can check things out. But really just go for powerful, positive emotions. Things like gratitude, joy, bliss, courage, just feeling powerful, feeling capable, happiness, excitement, right? These are wonderful things to feel in this. Now, this is going to be a process of active imagination. So you're going to create this inside of your mind. So when you get into it, I want you to set at least 10 to 15 minutes aside for this. Really give yourself some time. And you're going to sit in a quiet place with your spine straight. If you lie down, there's a good chance that you're going to knock out and you're going to defeat the purpose. Hey, get a good nap. Awesome. But if you want to do this, spine straight, sit up. Because remember, you want to give your body the feeling of being attuned, being in tune, being excited, awake, alive, right? Active. So you're going to close your eyes, and the very first thing you're going to do is you're going to take all the energy from your head to your heart. I like seeing a ball of light moving from my head down to my heart and staying in the heart, because the head is the home of logic and strategy, feasibility, and also a lot of other things that could get in your way, such as time, right? So you're moving your energy all the way from there down to your heart, which is the domain of dreams, of magic, of emotion, of possibility, of wonder, of blessings. And that's where you want to be for this experience. Now, you're going to be creating a vision, but it's not just going to be visual. It's going to include all of your senses. You want to make this as real as possible, and consistently adding to this vision, and I'll tell you how in a second, consistently adding to this vision details that will further excite you or awaken those powerfully positive emotions, get you even more into the feelings of joy, gratitude, bliss, excitement, feeling powerful, all of that good stuff. And I like to start this, after moving the energy to the heart, by answering the question, what will I be famous for? And fame can happen in a number of different ways. It can happen on a global scale for any reason. In one field, as an influencer, as part of pop culture, whatever. It could be within a certain field of study or work. It could be within a country for one reason or another. It could just be within a specific group of people, such as your family or your friends. You could be famous to your friends. You could be even just famous to yourself. You could be your own personal rock star. But you want your heart to run away with this. And start with that. What will I be famous for? And it doesn't matter when, and it doesn't matter how. Remember, those are all parts of the mind, but you put all the energy down into the heart. And so put yourself there in a peak experience of doing or having just done what you're famous for, what you're known for, what you're best at. Put yourself there inside this scene. Look around you and create all the visual details of being wherever you are, inside, outside. Is it day, morning? Is it night? Is it the middle of the night? Who's around you, if anybody's around you? Add details. What do the walls look like? What do your clothes look like? Add details of the people's faces or the things that you see around you. If you're on a beach, I want you to see every single grain of sand, every droplet of water, the birds in the sky, if there are birds, the clouds, the sun, all of it. Then add other feelings, such as physical feelings. What does it feel like to be there? What do your clothes feel like if you're even wearing clothes? Is that hot? Is it cold? Do you feel a breeze, air conditioning? Is it still? What does your body feel? Do you feel sun? What do you feel? Do you feel someone else, right? What do you feel? Then add sounds. What do you hear? Do you hear your own voice? Do you hear the sound of applause? Do you hear birds chirping, waves crashing? Do you hear nothing? Is it silent? Do you hear music? Do you hear one person's voice, many people's voices? Then see if you can push yourself. Can you add smells? Do you smell cologne, perfume? Do you smell a room? Do you smell nature? Do you smell the beach? Do you smell food? Can you add tastes? Do you taste wine? Do you taste a drink? Do you taste food? Did you just eat something? Do you taste gum? Do you taste anything? Hey, do you taste someone else? Did you just kiss someone, right? Add all of these things to your experience, adding even more detail, even more detail, even more detail. Now, if at any point you add a detail that makes you feel uncomfortable or anxious, that means you've added a detail that has forced your conscious mind inside, forced your brain inside of this vision. So delete that detail or that set of details that made you feel that way. Delete until you feel good again, and then add different details. And start adding even more details around this event. What does your daily life look like? Where do you live? Do you have a partner? Do you have kids? Where do you go on vacation? How did you get to the place that you're at? How are you going to leave that place? What are you going to do at night? What did you do in the morning? Add details, even more details, even more details. And you know that you've really done this right because you're going to fall in love with this vision. It's going to be so good. It's going to feel so amazing that you're going to want to stay in there. And so when it's time, when your alarm goes off, and make sure that it's something gentle, right? That alarm doesn't just like rip you out of this thing rudely. What you're going to do, and this is really important, is the first thing you're going to do is you're going to step out of the picture. This whole thing you should have seen through your own eyes, right? That's how you make it real. First thing you're going to do is step out of the picture. See your body in the picture. And this is really important because if you leave this vision through your own eyes, it might be so real that your brain may think that you already have achieved everything. And you may actually lose motivation to get it, to create it. If you step out of the picture, you will come back with all of the beautiful feelings and emotions that will help you manifest this future. And your brain will realize, do not have this yet. But God, that feels good. Let's make it real. Let's manifest this. So you step out of the picture, see your body in the picture, and then gently come back to now. Come back into your body in the room, wherever you are. And then you can open your eyes. And then take a few seconds to enjoy what you had just done for yourself. And then go about your day. Now, you may get information, by the way. You may get messages. Hey, do this. Pay attention to this. Write those down and then do them. Like Sophie said, you have the responsibility to take action in your life to manifest things. Nothing will manifest by itself for you. And so you can use this grand vision in order to give yourself those high vibes, in order to feel it, in order to know where you're headed, in order to create all of these amazing things within inside of your heart and mind that will manifest in one way or another, whether you think it's woo-woo or science, will bring these things to you even faster. I would highly encourage you to do this exercise once a day. And then that's how you manifest your life.
So if you guys need to, go ahead and let's have some fun. Let's see if we can actually get that piece as a downloadable for you guys so that you can have it to use whenever you would like every single morning for your discretion. So that way you can actually start creating and start making a habit for yourself, a routine. Start changing who you believe you are. And with that, start to see how amazing and how incredible life really is as you tap into your infinite potential. So thank you guys so, so much for tuning in. I hope that you got a lot of value, if not a lot of interesting insights from this episode. And we will see you all on the next one.
See ya.